Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Once again, we meet. We're working on 452, paragraph 6, in a wonderful section. That this is a section that comes right after responsibility for sight. And you might ask yourself, after all the work that we did, where you are responsible for what you think and what you see and what happens to you is what you asked. You may ask yourself, that's all sounded very good, but how is it that I can get on top of my experiences? How can I get out in front of my experiences? How can I get away from feeling like a victim when something appears to happen that I don't like? It makes me mad. How could I possibly be free, like the Course says I am, when I don't feel free? It's a fair question. But of course, it's exactly the kind of challenge you want to bring to your Course in Miracles work. And whatever lesson you're working on that day, you should really take the Course to task. It is extremely strong logic. It's extremely passionately written. The insight into how your mind works, how your ego works, is all considered in the wording of this book. Better than I could ever possibly myself understood. A Course in Miracles understands me in every aspect of my ego. So when you come across a situation where you feel like you're a victim, where you feel like it's too late, you're already mad, or you don't understand the problem anyway, so you're just going to feel bad about it. It's one of those scenarios where you just upset with everything, feeling weak, one of those. This is a great time to say, wait a minute. How can I get out in front of this? How can I heal my mind's approach and become free again, even though something in the world seems to be taking my freedom away? Really fair question when dealing with A Course in Miracles. And this is what we're going to work on tonight. We're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about using your faith, giving over your devotion. Remember, we talked about faith the other week, that faith is very much like devotion. And of course, trust. That if you already knew, if you already had the full capability to be super peaceful all the time, joy, joy, bliss, 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 you would not need faith. You would not need trust, because you would be the source of light, freely joying and blissing your way through experience. This is not where you find yourself now. You, like me, anybody else who is playing a character in a separate body, is playing out the addiction, the separation addiction game. But you, like me, have decided you want to return to wholeness. You've decided somehow, some way, and it was a miracle, believe me, all of us have already had the miracle that says there is another way, that says I'm going to abandon the victimhood of the ego's way, the world's way, and I'm going to go the free spiritual way because it feels more true, feels whole to me. In fact, if you've gone the same path that I have in your meditations on truth, you have discovered a sense of peace around the idea of oneness of spirit and of all being from which you can never return. You could never return. Habitually, you may go back to fear, anger, loss. But once the light has come, you have been reborn. You've been born back to your true nature. In other words, you're waking up. Waking up from your deep sleep of separation. It's already started to happen. I've worked closely with many of you, and you know that there are gains that have been made that can never go away. They can't, because they're more real than all of the lies the world told you your whole life. So what we're learning with the Course in Miracles as we go along is how to live as to demonstrate to ourselves and others too, but really to ourselves, that we are not egos. To actually exist in our mind, to live free. There is no power that can make you not free. There is no power that can make you not free. There is no power that can imprison you. If you look closely at all of the tragedies in your life and all the terrible things that happened, you will find that there were moments, or even now, when you're free of them. They were horrible tragedies. We have children who have died. We have people who have killed their own pets by accident. We have people been involved in murders. I mean, crazy stuff has happened. All the people have gone through these Course in Miracles meetings. And when we look closely at these things, we do find that we're witnessing them with perception and judgment. And if we take a step back away from the victim character, we can start to see how all things are working together. We can get above the battleground, the Course calls it. The word holiness, its root, has a W in front of it. Whole. Oh, good, because that makes it really easy, huh? It really is. It's that simple. It becomes a divine word because it points back to the truth. So pretty soon you have to capitalize it. When you've gone to as deep in the dark as we have in these bodies and time and space in this experiment, we've gone this deep in the dark, we need to capitalize words like holiness to indeed celebrate that they are the way out, the way up, the way back to freedom, to true love and sharing, to perfection of any type. Did you know that? There's no perfection in the world as we know it. That's why there is no world, because nothing about it is created. So nothing about it is perfected. It's all just a toy. It's a dream fantasy. We've exercised with our creative mind, and we've got in way past our neck. We went all the way in. We went all the way in. We used to gasp for air when we were making up this dream, air being truth. And then eventually we decided, you know what? It's just not working. We have to go all the way. If you want the maximum experience of being separate, you're going to have to go all. And we did. Completely asleep. It's not a sin. It's not even a problem. The only problem is that it's the exact opposite of holiness. It's the exact opposite of the experience of your nature, your true nature. Your true nature is of everything that is. But the way the ego has it, your nature is of your somewhere less than 200 pounds for most of us body. Feeding it, watering it, sleeping it. That's Your main preoccupation, keeping that thing happy and safe and comfortable. It's so small. Opposite of holiness is separate, completely separate, individual, and preparing for loss all the time. And there you are. So, we are now embarked on a journey. We're using A Course in Miracles as a guide. We independently are on this journey, by the way. This is why it amazes me so much that A Course in Miracles can speak to so many people, because each of our journeys is absolutely independent. We each come from our own creative perspective. This is one of our gifts back to God, by the way, is your individual. I did not say separate. Your individual experience is one of your gifts to God. When you hold thoughts you would think with God, they're love. And therefore you expand love. And this is your job. This is your highest expression of your mind is love. It amazes me that this one book can reach all of these disparate minds that we have. But that's just because it just proves that the truth is true. It proves that we are all connected in the truth. It proves it. And so let's take a few minutes now before we jump in. Just on your devotion, I would like you to take a few moments to commit or recommit to your personal. You can't put this in words, folks. It's a switch that you throw inside you, which is a devotion for the other way than the world, the ego, and a body. It's your devotion to a spiritual identity, which you, the one that you see in the mirror, cannot describe accurately ever. However, your job is not to do spirituality, it's to undo materiality. That you can do, because you're the master of materiality. So just think about releasing some material identification, okay? Let's just think about that for a few minutes as we reach for your holiness. I understand that my bell gets clipped off by Zoom. So until I figure a way around that, I'm just going to sing a bell for you. Bing! It is not holiness that you're after. The truth is true and remains waiting for you, surrounding you as eternal and omnipotent in what you actually are. No, it's the unholiness. It's the material habits of your mind. These are to be released, to not be given attention. This is your purpose. This is your job. You're choosing the atonement by choosing not separation. This is your job, to abandon the habit of materiality, scarcity, age, gravity, differences. Allow that very spacious sense of oneness to start to fill your being once again, as you let go of all of the detailed, named, edged, weighted, measured things. You could pick them back up in just a minute, but for now, put everything down and feel the mystery of oneness for the very truth that it is you. It is a journey beyond the body you take now, allowing your mind to expand It's been concentrated on a very small point. A very small point. Now, just for a moment, you release it. Ah. One day you'll do this, and you'll see you could not possibly fit back in the body again. Notice your body breathing. And now separate yourself from that breathing. It's the body that is breathing. It is not you. You are the breath. You could not possibly be breathing, but you could possibly be breath. Do you see? Your body appears to be living, progressing in a life. But you cannot be living. But you are life. Do you see? Bing! You were able to sense the freedom of holiness, of identifying with, for example, breath instead of breathing. Or if you're able to feel life instead of living, that is a miracle. It's a shift in perception toward the truth. It is your freedom pass to eternity, because breathing stops and living ends. But breath does not stop, and life itself is eternal, indicating this is truth. But you must be able to step back to this larger perception. It's still a perception, but it's a right-minded perception that frees you, lets you step out of your prison cell, otherwise known as your body. I ran across this page the other day and I just love it. Everybody turn to page 324 in the text. Beautiful, beautiful paragraph. Everybody should know about this paragraph.
Say it again.
324 in the text. I'm going to have to memorize that page number. I think this is going to come out a lot. It amazes me how many places in this book I want so badly to commit to memory. Have you ever run across a book that has this many delicious things you just want to own in your consciousness and your awareness? It's amazing, this book. 324, top of the page, paragraph 7. Dr. Day, are you there? Would you like to read that for us? I got your mute.
I'd be happy to.
Please.
So it's chapter 15, The Holy Instant.
Mm-hmm.
When the body ceases to attract you, and when you place no value on it as a means of getting anything, then there will be no interference in communication. And your thoughts will be as free as God. As you let the Holy Spirit teach you how to use the body only for the purposes of communication and renounce its use for separation and attack, which the ego sees in it, you will learn you have no need of a body at all. In the holy instant, there are no bodies, and you experience only the attraction of God. Accepting it as undivided, you join him wholly, in an instant, for you would place no limits on your union with him. The reality of this relationship becomes the only truth that you could ever want. All truth is here.
Thank you. In the holy instant, you would be giving your devotion to holiness and abandoning materiality. You'd be giving your understanding and devotion and awareness all to breath and not to breathing. Do you see the difference? Before we go on, if anybody would like to comment about the things that we touched on in the meditation, I'd be happy to give you a chance to do that.
Yeah, I have a comment, and I'm sure others might as well. I don't mean to cut people off. But when I have had the good fortune to find myself in that space that is or is related closely to the holy instant, what I notice is that I have stopped paying attention to my five senses and also to the constant monkey chatter that composes my inner dialogue 98% of the day. So I'm not thinking about, you know, getting something that feels good. I don't want a massage. I don't want chocolate. I don't need to smell incense. I'm not attracted to something that is visual or auditory or an experience that I deem necessary before I can be happy. All of those elements are, for that brief time, absent. I haven't intentionally done anything to them or with them. I've just placed myself in a space where those things can be in a position to temporarily just fall away, to go away. And what's left is something quite different. It's the setting aside of the usual preoccupations and, you know, senses and just the usual stuff. It goes for a little bit. And that is one of the most remarkable experiences I think it's possible to have while you're still, you know, having this experience of, okay, I'm a body and the body is in this world. And, you know, even if I think of it in a holy way and it's my, I think, okay, the body is just a tool for communication with others. Even with that more wholesome understanding of what the body's about, it still doesn't touch that sense of, you step outside of that. It just seems to go away of its own accord for a little while. and there's an enormous sense of relief that takes place. And I can't describe it to anybody else. When I'm trying to do it now, it seems like a very poor explanation for what the experience is about.
I think everybody here is hoping you nail it. we're all struggling ourselves to hear it said. And we hear you, we feel you, and we're all encouraging you with our patience. Let's let Jesus chip in. Turn to page 360 in the text. 360. And Tim, you can read for us also that paragraph since you brought it up. Okay. Paragraph 11 on page 360 in the text.
All right. Coming up. Six, six, six. Some of my pages are sticky thanks to water.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have grabbed my new text, but this is so dear to me with all the notes and the years of underlining, loving it.
While he's getting to page 360, everybody, you got it?
I'm there. 11?
Yes.
11?
Yes.
Rock and roll. The holy instant is a miniature of heaven, sent you from heaven.
Do you see the circle? People.
It is a picture, too, set in a frame. Yet if you accept this gift, you will not see the frame at all. Because the gift can only be accepted through your willingness to focus all your attention on the picture.
And the frame is the old way, the ways of the ego in the world, of sharp colors and so forth, and differences and loss and gain and everything of the world. That's the frame. But inside of it and behind it all is the picture of light, the holy instant. Please continue.
The holy instant is a miniature of eternity. It is a picture of timelessness set in a frame of time. If you focus on the picture, you will realize it was only the frame that made you think it was a picture. Without the context of the frame, sorry for the extra words, the picture is seen as what it represents. For as the whole thought system of the ego lies in its gifts, so the whole of heaven lies in this instant, borrowed from eternity and set in time for you.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well read.
The only thing I didn't get was thought system of the ego lies in its gifts.
Yes.
It
means the ego's gifts. The whole thought system of the ego lies in whatever the ego is going to give you. And that thought system of the ego.
That's chaos that the ego gives us, right?
Loss, limit,
that's
death.
Great gift.
Yeah, what kind of gifts like that? I think I'll pass over my birthday.
A turd with a ribbon on it, huh?
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah. But also gives you specialness, Ross.
Ooh, yay.
You can be so special that you're completely and perfectly alone. That's a gift of the ego. It's actually something you sought for, to experience.
Sometimes I have nightmares. When I wake up, I remember a part of the nightmare. If I think of the ego's gifts, I think of walking around in the nightmare, looking for the solution to finding happiness in the nightmare. That doesn't happen. I am not especially eager to continue to think that I live in the nightmare. I'm ready to be done with that. Yep. I don't know about the others in this group.
Yeah.
But I suspect you're all right with me here.
Yep. Speak for all of us.
Except the very desire to be done with
it. Already. I know. How much more
desire,
do I?
But you understand the desire to be done with it is a block to the awarenesses of love's presence that you're putting up. You get that, right?
No, explain it to me.
Well, please. The desire to have things other than they are is a block to awareness of love's presence because you already are in love's presence. So desiring something from other than what is happening right now is the block to the awareness of love's presence.
What's happening right now for me is suffering. So my desire...
That's another block.
Okay, let me put it in these words. Ross, you're right on target. Let me put it in these words. A suffering, for example, any suffering requires the resistance to the suffering in order for the suffering to exist. Does that make sense?
Say it again.
The experience of suffering in true form requires your own resistance to the suffering in order for you to experience the suffering.
Exactly.
Okay. I can understand that.
It's that circle that you always talk about, Andrew. The desire to have things different, the desire to end the nightmare, is the exact thing that's keeping you from enjoying heaven.
You've heard the phrase, what's that quick little phrase? If you resist, it persists.
Yes, exactly.
What you resist persists. You're giving it energy by disliking it. That means there's something there to dislike. And that's what Ross is describing, this little trap of a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's something there, one, and that in itself is not bad. But when you say it's to dislike, now you're using your creative power to make another bar in your prison cell.
If I come and I stomp on your big toe with my metal-clad work boot, you experience pain.
My body and Andrew and my ego experience pain, maybe even death. That's correct.
Okay.
Absolutely correct.
And
absolutely
that's
correct.
That's not to be disliked. You're to just go, it hurts like hell.
It's not to be liked either.
Stop.
But you're identifying as the Andrew character who's experiencing the toe. Do you want to identify with that, or do you want to identify with spirit, which is eternal and has no body?
I would rather identify with the spirit, obviously, but good luck to you on thinking about the spirit when I stomp on your toe.
Aha, you're right on it, Tim. You're right on it. Now we're getting real. Now we're not goofing around here. This calls for practice, and I mean practice like, you know, in the spiritual circles, you have a practice of meditation, a practice of sitting, a practice of walking, etc. You must now have a practice of identity and awareness of the body and a practice of letting it go during pain. It is the easiest and quickest way to observe the power of your mind. What am I talking about? I'm talking about next time you stub your toe. I'm talking about actually going and stepping into the shower with the cold all the way on. Take off all your clothes and step into that water. You will have a hard time breathing. You will be extremely uncomfortable. You might swear my name a few times. However, provided you don't get a heart attack, you will find yourself with the ability to choose to just be calm, even though your body is very uncomfortable. Bee stings don't come often enough, you know, for this exercise. But man, is a bee sting a good one, because it hurts more and more. Has everybody here had a bee sting? Anybody here not had a bee sting? What? How many? More than once.
Dozens.
At the same time.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
When the bee sting, as it swells, the body responds, it hurts more and more and more. It's this perfect opportunity to be able to do the work that we're talking about and step into your mind and out of your brain. The brain feels pain. The brain actually rehearses the pain and worries about how bad it's going to get, and panics and causes different breathing, and you go up and down. You start rubbing it out of a sense of automation. All these things happen in the body and the brain. Next time you stub your toe, next time you step in a cold shower.
What goes through my mind is, this too shall pass.
There you go. That's an escape hatch. You could say, this too shall pass. You could say, you could use an escape hatch. Everybody should have one. We probably all somewhere along the lines have come up with these trigger words to choose peace, to choose freedom. This too shall pass is a good one. I can choose peace instead of this is mine. I do that while I'm breathing. Something bad happens to me, and I find myself can't believe what I'm seeing, or, you know, so I said, oh, wait, in breath, I could choose peace instead of this, out breath. And I just, the energy just flows off and I return back to where I want to be. Experiencing the power of my mind. So very practical, Timothy, you're right on it. And you said good luck, and I say good work. You really have to call what we're studying day in, day out with A Course in Miracles to task when you seem to be a victim. Maybe it's because your lawyer called, IRS called, or, you know, in my case, the telephone people, Frontier, sent me a very short letter that could cost me 5 digits easy. I broke a few of their telephone poles with an accident a couple of years ago. You guys don't remember I had a broken ribs.
A telephone pole, you know, it's an endangered species when it's time to replace it.
Yeah, yeah. So they said, we're going to make you pay for replacing these telephone poles. It was a very short letter. It was a big warning since it, you know, tell us your insurance company, otherwise it's coming to you. And I thought, well, you know, I could be in victim panic mode, or I could just choose peace and then work my way through this. And I prefer choosing the peace. My mind habits, you know, thinking is available if I wanted to go down a rabbit hole. But, you know, I'd rather just live peacefully and work it out as I go. It's active. You have to be active now. You have to. It's a practice like meditation. It's a practice like, you know, getting good sleep. It's a practice like chasing your glass of red wine with a glass of water so you don't get a headache. I mean, it's just, there are things that you can do to live a better life. I'm talking practicality, folks. Floss your teeth and then you can keep them. It's a practice. Meditate for a few moments in the morning and find your whole day is more peaceful. It's a practice. If you start feeling a victim, the minute you do, I don't care how much damage is coming. If you choose peace, you'll weather it better. Don, what do you got?
Just stepping back a little bit in the dialogue. So if I experience the suffering of depression, it requires my resistance to the depression or the suffering of depression.
That's correct.
If I experience a suffering of this pressure in my third eye, it requires my resistance to that suffering of that I bring to the third eye pressure. Yes.
That's correct.
And then
I think you know it's correct.
Yes, I do. Or I hope it's correct. No, it's really, I have more hope. I have to say that's true. But also, if I was experiencing severe depression, I could jump in a cold shower. Wow.
Yep. I'm telling you, Don, that will absolutely work.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. And it would be a practice, my friend. You would be putting your devotion to your mind and saying, brain, I'm going to call on my mind and reorient my experience and go step in a cold shower. And you might laugh yourself back out of the shower. Stay in there till you acclimatize. You enjoy yourself a nice cool shower and come out laughing as you dry yourself off and say, man, I'm taking my life too seriously. That's exactly what will happen. But you got to break the cycle. Depression is a cycle. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you actually are a chronically depressed person, you probably have the chemical imbalances that come all by themselves, with all on their own. And these chemical imbalances make you, you feel a sense of depression, and then a little sense of fear follows it right in your gut. Because you're like, oh, no, not again. And then your brain starts analyzing these negative feelings, and you start to look for reasons to be depressed. It, Lord save you if you come up with one. I miss my cat. I mean, who knows what you'll come up with? Oh, my God. Now it compounds. And you're, anyway, see what I mean? You start circling right down the dark drain. So if you're chronically depressed, if you have that disposition in this body, or if you've had the experience, you need to break the cycle. Otherwise you will follow gravity and go in the darkness right down into the drain, into the hole.
Preaching to the choir.
Okay. So if you can drag your sorry at that point, dark moping butt into the cold shower, you could have a physical and spiritual awakening that could last the rest of your life. Freedom from victimhood. And recognizing that indeed the body and the brain are just doing their thing. It's like when you get hungry. You know, if you didn't know what it was, you would call the doctor. You'd call the doctor. I have this pain in my gut. It won't go away. It's getting worse. Yeah, go ahead.
You said you were rooting for me to get it, to be so close. I am not to be attracted to whatever state that is you guys are rooting for me to reach to. Because if I'm attracted to it, I've fallen into the trap of being an ego.
So amen.
Instead, I just, okay, here's what's happening right now in front of me. I don't like it. I don't dislike it. It can come. It can go. I don't care. I'm within my own sense of well-being, my own sense of balance.
Yeah, you bet. You got it. You got it, Timothy. It's not something you chase. And I, this is what I personally do. I just say this phrase that I've learned from A Course in Miracles. I say, oh, this is an experience of the body.
There's nothing wrong with having preferences, Timothy. I would prefer not to have it be 105 degrees and have the smoke level be at 175. I would prefer that. But I'm not going to say, oh, my God, it's horrible that it's this way. It's just, well, that's, you know.
No,
it's 100, you know, the smoke, the AQI was 175, and I was working out outside. That's the way it is. I would prefer it not to be that way, but okay, that's what I got.
What we're doing is practicing the power of mind to not actually be. Be is a short word with a big meaning. We're talking about the I am awakeness, to not be the body. You have a body. You actually, your script is written. You're not going to be in another body anytime soon. You are busy with this existence, but you do not have to identify with it. And your freedom comes instantly when you wake up from identifying with your body. And the cold shower is a good way to do it. Another way is, like you were describing, Tim, is in that method of not resisting, giving it more power to hurt you. And also not efforting away from it, which would be just another story, another pursuit, another dream.
Okay. Back to
the say something?
Ross, I would prefer not to be experiencing the nightmare as my apparent reality. Any better? Or am I still...
Goes without saying. Don't even entertain the complaint. In the very present moment, there's not even time to complain. Of course, it's true, right? It's true you prefer not to be uncomfortable. So, yes, that's true.
I feel like we're talking at cross purposes. So what I'm going to do is just stop for the moment and allow time for it to soak in.
Okay. There's plenty more material that we're going to work on that's going to be helpful. Don, what do you got? Oh, actually, Luann, you were first. Luann?
I have three things to say. I used to hate the phrase, it is what it is, because I always thought that means I'm not going to do anything about it. Now I just think it is what it is the truth. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't have to do something about it. It just means whatever happens, happens.
Okay, Luann. Okay, this is...
I think that's why I have a very high pain tolerance. Because I've been stung by a bee, and I don't remember it hurting all that much. I remember the feeling, but I don't remember thinking it hurt that much. I've had two children. I've never had any pain reliever to get rid of the pain, and I don't think it was very, you know, and I never did. So, for instance, right now I'm in pain on my feet, but it just, I think, okay. During the meditation, for instance, I wasn't feeling the pain in my feet. I was doing something else with my mind.
Luann, read us the first sentence of paragraph 7 on page 594.
Okay.
And we got some hands up. We're going to those next.
Well, I have two more things I want to say, too.
Oh, okay.
I have 94. How come I'm having such a hard time finding it? Usually. Okay. 92, 93. Paragraph 7. Okay. The miracle establishes you dream a dream. The miracle establishes dream a dream, and that is...
Okay, you start over again.
Okay, one more time. The miracle establishes you dream a dream, and that its content is not true.
Period, end of teaching, end of description, and the awareness.
One of the other things, I don't know if I'm going to remember all three of them, but one of the other things I wanted to say was, during the meditation, I was struggling to get to a place that you were telling us to get to. And finally I said, I can't do this. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me a number of times, but I still noticed myself thinking and thinking and thinking. And finally I let go of my thinking. And I was, during the breathing part of it, I was noticing that my body was breathing, but I was completely detached. And when I wasn't detached, I mean, I noticed it at first. And then I thought, okay, I can just let go and watch my body breathe. And when I did that, that's what I was doing.
That's it.
As close as I could get to a holy instant.
That's pretty darn good. That was the idea of the exercise. Beautiful, Luann. You did it. You can do it again anytime because you're breathing all day and all night.
I think that's what I mean when I say pain doesn't bother me all that much because I just notice I'm half pain and I think, okay, my body's in pain right now, so.
Good. Good, good. Yeah. Now for the rest of your freedom. Now on to the rest of your freedom.
Exactly.
Don, what do you got?
Yeah, I just want to offer a direct experience. It's often true that the most powerful change of mind, you might say, that occurs for me is when I'm inspired to do an intervention, if you will, or to some phrase comes to me. In other words, I've practiced all the other stuff. And then in the midst of a challenge, by grace, something comes to me to say or to do. And it occurred to me that this is what happened. And I was speaking a little bit here to Deb. And this often happens. I will have a very positive understanding or a sense of spiritual connection in, say, a meeting or something like that, and then I'll walk away from it, and all of a sudden I'll just go fall into a deep a depression, just like, where the heck did this come from? And I recall, pardon?
Don, there is another awareness that you probably have come across in your dealing with depression, or let me introduce it to you if you haven't, and that is depression, this biological, physiological path that you're on, it comes with a lower level of dopamine, for example, this little feel-good chemical that your brain produces, and you have the ability to use it up. Everybody familiar with this?
Yeah.
You know, You live. It's just another nutrient in a way. You live on this stuff. And you can use it up, and you go into the little down cycle, and then you give it time enough, you come back to a higher cycle. And when you're younger, you can generate this stuff like crazy. You're just a drug addict for dopamine, and you have to recognize that this is the prison cell that I say prison cell so much, but really at this point, it's a classroom that you've been assigned and yet you're working. And so awareness of this, you would do well to become aware of these cycles of the brain and the body. And in this case, when you come to this meeting, if you can reach for A Course in Miracles, you have another way to be, and that is in your mind instead of your brain. The brain gets depressed. The brain has memories. The brain forecasts bad, and it forecasts good. The mind exists in the present moment. So we're teaching with holiness, with A Course in Miracles, for you to move into the awareness of your mind instead of being stuck in your brain.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, okay, so in that particular example, I was offering as a real example of a shift by virtue of my noticing the depression, but instead of bemoaning it, I kind of just acknowledged it and acknowledged I had don't know where the hell this came from.
Nice.
And then a moment later, I moved on to an activity, to what I was doing, some household stuff. And all of a sudden, it was just the depression went away. And I have a feeling with me, because it's also a mood disorder diagnosis, that what happens with me is like I go up dopamine from an idea, a thought, a positive thing. And somehow I don't have that little net that holds the dopamine. Mm-hmm. So then go to an ordinary life, the habit of thinking at unconscious levels, and boom, I'm down.
Yep.
And I don't really know what happened. So what the beauty of that was is that I accepted, I didn't bemoan it. I didn't try to change it. I acknowledged I don't know what's going on. And grace, the mind. I came up
grace.
With the mind.
Grace.
Yeah.
Grace.
Grace.
Grace, even through suffering, grace.
Right.
Witnessing the power of your mind.
If I have another child, she will be named Grace.
Okay, Barbara, you're next. Hold on, Luann. Barbara's got her hand up.
Okay.
I'll put your hand up, too.
So mine is a little bit different. Last week, at the beginning of the week, I took a full-time job out of the blue. I was intending to do substitute teaching because I need money for legal, purposes. And I saw a second grade, position advertised in the Pajaro Valley Unified School District where I had my career and at the school where I started my career. And I just took it. So I don't know how long it's going to go on. It could go on the entire year. It could go on 2 weeks. It could go on. I just don't know, because whenever that position is filled, I'm gone. So I'm really exhausted because I live in Monterey now and I've got a 40-minute commute. I'm the kind of person that has to get up early in order to be me before I jump into the teaching role. So I've been getting up at 4, getting to work before 7, and then staying at work until the traffic diminishes. So I don't have to sit in traffic. So I'm working like 12 hours a day. And I am not in any pain at all. I'm exhausted. I am really enjoying it because I love working with kids, because they're just so beginner's mind.
Yeah.
And just right there.
Yeah.
And so it's a total pleasure. as a teacher, I'm pretty much totally dedicated to them. I don't care whether I'm temporary or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm pouring a lot of energy into it. And despite my advanced age, I'm 68, I am not feeling, I'm really, really tired and I'm barely here. But I'm dealing with it really well. I feel like I'm not my body. My body is just pouring the energy from the time I wake up until the time I get home. And then I go to sleep and I get up and I do it again. So there's no problem there. And it's actually an interesting thing to observe versus the way I did teaching before, which was full of a lot of anxiety, insecurity.
And so I want to remind you that when you deal with those children and when you choose the job and when you get out of your house, you are choosing to have relationship.
Yes.
And Course in Miracles says that relationships is to make happy.
Yeah. Well, I feel that in a very tired way. But yeah. The only concern I have is I was so deeply into the study, right? And now it's like I'm forcing my eyes open to stay here tonight. When I get up in the morning, I got to get going. I got to prepare my food and take a shower and get, you know, so I've lost that time for study. And when I come home, I'm exhausted. So I'm here tonight because I just need to touch base with the process. In the morning, if I can find the 5 to 10 minutes, I peek at the next lesson, though I'm not really doing them. But so I'm just wondering if anybody here who studied this process over many years has ever had a time when, you know, your process of study has been interrupted. And, you know, I kind of,
all along my, I've been doing this for 28 years and some years are easier than others. Some years have more time than others. And I purposely recorded the entire Course in Miracles on audio so that I could have it with me wherever I go. And if I can't get myself into the book, then while I'm in traffic, I did a lot of that, Silicon Valley, I just let that stuff go into my mind. And it's amazing that I can listen to Course again and again and again. I mean, it's 73 hours to make it through once. So, you know, there's a lot to go through. But wow, I found myself setting the MP3 player on repeat, and I didn't listen straight through the course. I listened to the one track until I felt comfortable. I could finally let it go. It was hard to let go because it was so delicious.
Yes, I get it. I'm missing that deliciousness that I had on a regular basis from the time I got up to whenever I wanted to stop.
Yeah.
So the audio book is a really good idea because I do have that commute time, and that's a perfect.
If you have a cell phone, you can have the audio book on it. Just go to my website, and there's
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm done.
What do you got, Luann?
I just have two comments. One is, Barbara, you're a baby.
says Luann, the four-year-old.
And Don, I want to say, when I feel myself starting to get depressed, now you say you drop into it, so it might be different, but when I feel myself starting to get depressed, I say, I don't like this, and I start doing something else. Whatever I was doing, I stop doing, and I do something else. And it goes away immediately.
Yeah, which is what his experience was. He found that as soon as he busied himself with something, he got off the downward spiral and he picked up some other activity and his brain started firing. You know, the cold shower is a dramatic way. You don't have to do the cold shower. You can also just go clean a window or something. It really do it, though. And it's just, you know, the body and the brain cooperate with whatever you tell it to do. And if you forget to tell it to be more depressed, it will go on to cleaning windows.
Yeah, but it's saying that he studies about what is he doing now in order to not be depressed. I don't do that.
But you know, your depression is different. For some people, the depression comes on and they can't even stand up. Yeah. I worked with a woman who it was so amazingly powerful. Would come over her, and she couldn't get out of bed in the morning. She didn't get out of bed in the morning. She got out of bed at night. I mean, this was really – so I don't know if your depression is like that, Luann. If it is, you can speak up.
No, I hardly have depression at all.
So it's a lot different. It's a lot different. So everybody's journey is a little different.
Of course it is. I'm different.
Okay, Sundari, what do you got? Oop, can you put your hand down?
You're muted.
Oh, I see. I did.
Okay, now you're good. Okay. I got your mute.
I was just really inspired by what Barbara said, and the aspect of it that clicked with me is the job out of the clear blue, right back to where I started, here again.
And said Sundari, the teacher.
It isn't really. It's about teaching. It's about synchronicity.
Sure.
That's what I want to say. I want to say that, I get stuck in these things for long years. And sometimes I'm graced with a total quirk, and it's got the stamp of Holy Spirit on it. It's like, are you kidding me? This couldn't be true. This couldn't be true.
Bingo.
And I was so hearing the stamp of Holy Spirit, and I just had to reflect that back to you. I mean, how, oh yeah. Same school district, right? It was like, oh my God, this is.
Thanks for noticing that, because that's absolutely true.
And it got me very excited, because besides the cold shower, for me, that's one of the biggest ways out, because it gets me to at least smile if I'm not laughing.
Nice, Sundari.
So on my own story, now Andrew's heard this more than anybody. You know, my fences, the guy stealing my land for year after year. Okay. Year after year, he's stealing this land, and he's actually a felon. He's actually a felon who's been in prison, stealing this land. And just in the last, and growing now marijuana plants on the part of it that he's stolen, that has been confiscated by the police. And I get to answer statements as to why there are 787 marijuana plants growing on my land.
Oh, that's big time. So,
I'm in the midst of this story, and all of a sudden, over the last number of weeks, I discover that he went to prison originally years ago here for something involving fraud with another cousin in my husband's family, the same family. And it's just like, are you kidding me? And he bought this land from the guy who was doing the same thing to my mother-in-law before I got it, and sued for the land and got
family.
It's like, wait a minute.
Dynastic karma.
It's like, who can make this up? Who in different cities all over California? I mean, who could?
I got to get back to the paragraph, Sundari, so please go to your point.
Okay, my point is, finally I've got a smile, because it's so bizarre and it's so stupid and it's so Holy Spirit that I can't overlook the stamp.
I love it. Thank you. I love it. Good, good. Okay, everybody, turn to page 452, so we can hit tonight's reading and get some discussion in on that before we go. It's been such a fun time tonight. It's really gone by quickly. 452, and Barbara, when you get there, I got your mute. We're looking at paragraph 6.
Okay. The Holy Spirit, can you hear me? Okay.
Oh, yeah, sounds good.
The Holy Spirit has a use for all the means for sin by which you sought to find it. But as he uses them, they lead away from sin, because his purpose lies in the opposite direction. He sees the means you use, but not the purpose for which you made them. He would not take them from you, for he sees their value as a means for what he wills for you. You made a perception that you might choose among your brothers and seek for sin with them. The Holy Spirit sees perception as a means to teach you that the vision of a holy relationship is all you want to see. Then will you give your faith to holiness, desiring and believing in it because of your desire.
So, Timothy, this speaks exactly to what your quandary in a moment ago we were talking about. I just want to bring you back into this discussion, if you wish, at least raise your awareness back to that. What we're talking about in this paragraph, and what Timothy was volunteering as well, was this moment of, I call it devotion, in the problem, not away from the problem. That gives the problem power. But the devotion to the holiness. Can the Holy Spirit use this too? Whatever your problem is, your stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's what this paragraph says. Let's all go through it again. Keep that in mind. Can the Holy Spirit use this horrible, lousy thinking of mine? This jealousy, this depression, this anger, this revenge, this thought of whatever. Here we go. The Holy Spirit has used for all the means for sin by which you sought to find sin. Period. First sentence. Remember, sin can be translated, it's a separation. It's a separation for, or you know, that's the bottom line. But along the way, sin is this unforgivable mistake. Sin is this uncomfortable situation that couldn't possibly be allowed to exist. Do you see? It's all food for the ego to worry, to fight over, to attack over, to get revenge over. Sin. Oh, yes. I'm going to read it again. The Holy Spirit has use for all the means for separation, sin, depression, etc., by which you sought to find separation, sin, unhappiness, anger, etc. But as the Holy Spirit uses them, you see, they lead away from sin. That's because we're going toward holiness, right? Remember we were talking about it at the beginning? The opposite of holiness, the opposite of holiness with a W, W-H-O-L, the opposite of holiness is separation. Sin is another word for separation completed, separation idolized, separation believed. Sentence three, the Holy Spirit sees the means you use, he sees it. That means anger, attack, loss, worry about death, worry about sickness, worry about money, worry about relationships. These are the means that you use in your devotion to separation and being alone and separate. But the Holy Spirit does not believe in the purpose for which you made them. Your purpose was separation. Holy Spirit can't even imagine. It doesn't make any sense. Because the Holy Spirit comes from the part of your mind that is still connected to wholeness and forever will be. Because it's the truth. Sentence four. Now the Holy Spirit would not take them from you. Got to stop there for a moment. The Holy Spirit would not take these thoughts of anger, attack, separation from you. No way. For the Holy Spirit sees their value as a means for what he wills for you. In other words, the best way to get you out of a difficult place in the jungle is to turn around and take the exact same steps you took to get in, to get out. When you're lost, try to retrace your steps. It'll be the least confusing way that you will have the most faith in to return back to where you started. Do you understand? Okay, thank you, Don. When you're lost, you say you did, you wandered off into a jungle and you just got turned around. And I said, I know you're lost and you're afraid that the sun's going to go down and you're starting to feel really worried. You're really depressed, right? You're really worried. One choice is just keep walking. Just keep walking and see if maybe you get out. I think that might be fear-inducing, but it's easy. It's really easy. Another way, and it will begin, is to turn back and look at the branches that are broken behind you and say, wait, that's the way I came. I'm going to go back to the parking lot. I'm going to go back to the trailhead. I'm going to go back to the ridge that I was at a moment ago, and then I can see the parking lot from there. I'm going to go back home by retracing my steps. This instantly brings you a sense of peace because you're going back the way you came. This is what we're talking about in this paragraph. The Holy Spirit is not going to throw out this crazy path that you took to get yourself in trouble. He said, you know what? I'm going to use that crazy path with your ex-wife, with your current wife, with the terrible things that your daughter said to you, with the terrible things that the lawyer proposed to you, with the terrible things that you thought about yourself. I can use those, says the Holy Spirit, because that's the quickest way to bring you peace, by helping you forgive, to have a miracle and then forgive the very problems you think are problems. Now, do you see? This is the kindest way to undo your burden, is to look at your burden again, but with holiness. To just completely abandon everything you think is familiar and cause your problem and go straight up some other new direction is probably fear-inducing. It is not the kindest way. The kindest way is to work with what you already believe. The kindest way is to retrace your steps, find your own footprints and say, you know what? I feel secure that I'm finding my way out because I can see how I got myself in here. These are my own footprints. This is what the Holy Spirit does not throw away your horrible, stinking thinking. Instead, translates it. Translates it. The Holy Spirit's job is a translator. So you don't have to run from your problems. You do have to look at them again, though. It's not the only way. You can just jet right out of your problems. You don't have to do it this way. But if you're not that, if you don't have that kind of wherewithal, this is the gentle way. It's a gentle way. Jacqueline.
Well, we've brought it up other times, but on 419, those italics.
Read it to us, baby. Read it. This is Jacqueline has found the power of page 419, the italics of 419, as one of our, it's one of our toolbox items. If the blank hits the fan, boy, this can reset your mind. Go ahead, Jacqueline.
So we're saying this to the Holy Spirit. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but let you use it for me to facilitate its coming.
Beautiful.
And there's... I think the state it's coming is facilitate peace coming. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
I love that. What's the page or
text? Page 419.
At the bottom, the italics.
Yes, a quick restorative, I call it. Good. Ross, what do you got?
So what I caught myself doing is thinking, oh, well, I'm this Course in Miracles student. And everybody else, right? There's the catch. So it's a spiritualized ego trap of, oh, well, everybody else doesn't get it. So, I have to teach them that the world is meaningless. So obviously all their opinions are meaningless, and I have to teach them. And it's this whole trap And so this, you know, would apply there too, because, but as soon as you see it, it really takes all the power out of it.
It's so true. You know, you want to see that in print? Everybody turn to page 142, paragraph 4 real quick. This is for Ross. He just said it, and the course says it also. 142. And Ross, read paragraph 4 when you get there.
When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself.
So if you think you have to be so busy correcting him, turns out you will not escape that you also need to be corrected. And it is a real self-fulfilling prophecy that the ego allows you to be blind to. Please continue.
Well, the other thing that, and again, this is obviously, well, I go to Adya a lot, but what he said was the ego knows you so well that it will find the subtlest way to trick you into into separation.
That's it, man.
Because it's going to, oh, you think you've got over, you know, directly attacking people? Well, guess what? I'm going to make you spiritually attack people.
That's it.
I am so holy because, you know, whatever it is, it's going to hit you on the subtlest level. And the thing to do is to try and see what it is, how subtle it's getting. Because these, you know, some of these like baser things, I'm going to say like, oh, really? You're getting in a fist fight with someone? Well, that's just obvious. Or you're arguing with someone? That's just obvious. But it's going to get, as you learn this book more and more, it's going to get subtler and subtler. So
subtle ways.
Other people, because I know it got me. So just
these subtle ways, as you become how subtle they are, it becomes a new source of depression for the Course in Miracles student. The big things you learn how to handle. I'm not a body. I'm free. I really believe it. I get it. I'm the light of the world. I can actually use, you know, I can lean on the love of God to do my forgiveness. I mean, you really get good at some of these powers. But the ego is still working on these subtle ways, the day-to-day activities to sort of steal your peace away. And it can be a new source of depression. Just FYI, watch out for it.
Mm-hmm.
These little things become big things because you start to not forgive yourself. You'll get angry. You get mad. You'll want to attack somebody or something little. And you'll think, wow, I am certainly, my course isn't working. Watch out for this little ego trick Ross is talking about. Adi is right. It continues to work with whatever scraps you leave it. You may not leave it, the big stuff, anymore. Death of a loved one, pet, losing a job. Somehow you handle these things okay now. But the broken glass in the kitchen? How did that bother you so much?
Another way he puts it is, It will come clad in white spiritual robes.
Nice.
And you'll think you're pontificating so eloquently to these poor people who don't get it.
That's nice.
And,
yeah, that's
and
it.
There you are.
That's it.
The emperor with no clothes at all.
You got it.
You got your spiritual clothes on.
Well, you certainly understood why I brought you to page 142, so we can drop that page. Okay, back to page 452 with the last few minutes. I want to show you a few more things in this paragraph. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit using your crap thinking for your good. We're gonna translate the very thoughts that brought you pain in order to gently but quickly bring you back to peace by translating, taking the power out of them, and bring you back the way you came. It's really beautiful. He would not take them from you, for he sees their value as a means for what he wills for you. Sentence 5, you made perception. FYI, that is a complete statement. It's one of the metaphysical teachings of A Course in Miracles. Those three words, you made perception. If you ever meditate on that, you can follow it all the way back to separation itself. Just drop in a note. You made perception that you might choose among your brothers and seek first sin with them. Okay? It's part of what you're doing. That's right. The Holy Spirit sees perception, on the other hand, as a means, as a way to teach you that the vision of a holy relationship is all that you actually want to see. This requires a devotion to oneness, a devotion to another way of being. This requires you to step back with your problem in hand, not throwing the problem away, but step back with your problem in hand and say, Holy Spirit, show me another way to look at this. Can I see peace instead of what I'm just about to do? Then, will you give your faith to holiness if you have this devotion for the other way? You don't need faith if you already know. If you already have oneness completely instilled, you don't need faith. Or to choose forgiveness or a miracle either for that matter, because you have a healed mind. But if you find that you have some stinking thinking going on and you're not at perfect happiness, this is a really good time to have faith in holiness. Step back. Do not panic. Do not reject. But instead step in with the part of your mind still connected to oneness, the Holy Spirit in you. The unholy spirit, your ego, the habit, the habitual thinking of, say, attack, or the habitual thinking of fear, or the habitual thinking of smallness you might be feeling when the problems come. These things are mutually exclusive. Choosing smallness and choosing largeness of holiness are mutually exclusive. You can only know what I'm saying is true when you actually do it. And you find yourself spacious and empowered and back at peace, like Luann was describing, and like Barbara was describing, and Sundari had described. There's other ways, right in the middle of your troubles, you can turn back the power of your mind in those moments. That's what all the workbook lessons are for. So you can try this on, you know, and then own it and be free. Be free as God created you. Then you will give your faith to holiness, desiring and believing in holiness because of your desire. Do you see the circle? I'll read it again. Desiring and believing in holiness because, and the circle comes right back around, because of your desire, you creator you extension of God you. Your desires, when you're in your right mind, always come true. You will always live your next thought. If you have an honest thought, that is your life. It's right in your hands. Your very next thought. Always, always, always. Okay, well, let's close the meeting with one more sentence. On page 388, turn to page 388, I think it's paragraph 6, and just look at this one, no, it's 383, paragraph 4. Just read this one sentence to close the meeting. Look at this. In fact, I would like Deborah to read this. Deborah, you're ready to go. Would you read for us? Paragraph 4, sentence 1. In fact, go ahead and read the whole paragraph because we have just enough time for you not to do that.
Happy dreams come true. Is that where we are?
That's where we are. It's where we should be. Yes.
Happy dreams come true, not because they're dreams, but only because they are happy. And so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done. And not, I want it otherwise. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own and you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them.
Amen. Alleluia. Well read. Thank you, Deborah. And thank you, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me and bringing your honest words and path to the meeting to share and teach everybody. Thank you, everybody. Let's do it again next week.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everybody.